there's some form of competition for who gets the clients. So this pushes investors and also fund managers towards the higher returning instruments. So I'd expect people to still move towards the equities market and also position themselves for a duration in the fixed income market. We are going to see more risk takers and more risk loving investors getting to chase returns. As we approach elections, there's the issue that we call election effect, but then it may be too early to start
worrying about
to worry about it, because I'd expect that to happen between 3 or 12 months before elections. So this is something that we'd expect to see in early 2027 or very late in 2026. I'd go for the equities market. So that is an asset class that I would want to watch more, because in the equities market, you can make money whether the markets are volatile or whether they are going up or whether they are going down. Because remember, there are entry points when the market is going down. You make money when the market is going up. And when the markets are volatile, you can also make good money with the equities market.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Make Money, the podcast, the show where we not only tell you, but also show you what's happening to your money and what could happen. Now, 2025 is slowly coming to a close, and it's always a good time to reflect on the year that has been. But it's also a better time to also reflect on what could be coming in 2026. And I'm happy to discuss the early outlook for the next year alongside macroeconomic analyst Stella Sakei. Stella, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Right, great. Pick up the conversation from just the context I've set. It's a good time in the final days of 2025 to look forward into 2026 and what's to come. And for me, largely, 2025 has been largely defined. Externally, you'd argue, has been the US tariffs. Of course, we've seen the market exuberance continue with AI stocks doing well. Domestically, it's been interest rate cuts by the Central Bank of Kenya, which has set the buttons to risk on, where we've seen, you know, investors moving money from low-risk assets towards the more moderate to high-risk assets, such as equities. And we begin right there with looking back at 2026. Geopolitical issues have also been a matter, with the US administration pushing for tariffs. Of course, that remains uncertain and unresolved going into 2026. For you, how much of a bearing will those have in terms of the investment play for 2026?
I see 2026 as a year where we will have all of these dynamics converging. So we're looking at macros, we're looking at the geopolitics, we're looking at the artificial intelligence issue or the movement towards that. All of this converging, and this again will determine the level of risk investors are willing to assume and also where exactly they get these returns. So as you've said rightly, geopolitics will continue to be with us. And let me start with that particularly. So for the bearing in terms of returns, investors who actually place themselves in positions or select stocks, which you've mentioned, AI stocks are performing well. I expect to see that continue to work out on matters, macros, and specifically interest rates. We've seen most of the central banks cut their rates. For example, Fed has done around 1,500 basis points. Domestically, we've done around 2,000 basis points. So this will likely continue, but then it should be anchored by how sustainable low inflation remains, and also how these central banks continue to fast track or unwind the restrictive policies that are still in place. So this will also shape investments and how or where investors will get to find their returns.
We move it more towards the domestic side of things. And what we've seen, of course, is the central bank leading the way with interest rate cuts. You've spoken of over the 2,000 basis points cuts, over 2 percentage points since August of 2024. And that has encouraged investors to take the opportunity to move into riskier asset classes. And we've seen, of course, the return on the low risk to moderate risk assets maybe taper down a little bit with what has happened to the interest rates and earnings across that portfolio. Would you expect this to continue as the lower rates continue to translate in the economy? We've seen what is happening to fixed deposit rates. We've discussed money market funds before. We've discussed bonds and treasury bills. Is the expectation here that moving into the year again, then the risk on button, as we talked about it, is beaming, that it's time to take the risks? Do you expect investors to follow suit and actually acknowledge that it's really that time? Especially again, noting that private sector credit is also recovering, meaning banks are lending out more, people opening businesses are about to mark expansions. We've seen some corporate bonds come right at the back end of this year from EABL and Safaricom. Mm. Judging all that, then, is it more risk on, or again, do you still do that and put some caveats on it?
I would expect this to continue because you've noticed that we have a variety of choices to choose from when it comes, for example, to investment instruments by fund managers. We have many MMFs, we have equity funds, we have balanced funds, and there's some form of competition for who gets the clients. So this pushes investors and also fund managers towards the higher returning instruments. So I'd expect people to still move towards the equities market and also position themselves for a duration in the fixed income market, because you notice that the government as well has been reopening the older or longer tenor bonds. So basically you see people running after returns compared to duration for fixed income and also compared to risk for equities. So yes, I agree with you that we are going to see more risk takers and more risk loving investors getting to chase returns as opposed to, let me not call it safety, because at the current macroeconomic environment, the most indicators are actually stable. So the aspect of higher risk will maybe unwind or unfold later. But in 2026, I see people continue to, or investors continue to go towards the higher returning instruments.
Let's speak of one of those high risk assets, which has been equities and was the clear winner in 2025 by a country mile, if we are to define it as such. Moving into 2026, and I know fund managers like throwing that term in, and I like to also throw it in right here that past performance is never indicative of future performance.
Yeah.
And so it's something to put in mind as you look at equities for the next play. But let's move back a bit. 2024, we were up, if we use the average index or the average return for the market, was around 34%. Mm. Depending on where we are closing 2025, that would be around 50%, so even more.
Yeah.
If you had to pull out your crystal ball and look at equities for 2026, is there another chance that they remain the envy of the market in terms of where you make your highest return? Or is it time now to also look back and say it's not indicative again of the past return?
Definitely it's not indicative of future returns. But just looking at the factors that inform demand and supply in the stock market, I see sustained demand for equities. So this means prices will remain high. Because once the CBK continues to cut rates, I won't say certain, but I expect the CBK to continue cutting rates. So yes, we will continue to see that rally. But then there's the issue of valuation fatigue, whereby we may not expect to see as huge returns as we've seen this year. Because again, kind of stocks will have, the rally will have, give me the word, like exhausted.
Yeah.
So exhausted
the
runway is finished. Yeah. But then not unless we see a surprise in returns in terms of earnings for the stocks that are darling to many investors, and these are the stocks that have a foreign visibility, then we do not expect something or a force to drive prices extremely high. But the baseline for me is that I expect stock prices to continue to remain high. But then there's one caveat. As we approach elections, there's the issue that we call election effect. But then it may be too early to start
worrying about
to worry about it, because I'd expect that to happen between 3 or 12 months before elections. So this is something that we'd expect to see in early 2027 or very late in 2026. But basically, I would expect to see elevated stock prices still. So investors who position themselves well within stocks that actually are defensive stocks, for example, will continue to see higher returns for their investments.
There's a prospect of initial public offers coming to play.
Yeah.
It's been more than 10 years since our last one, so I think, I don't know where I was in 2015, October, when we had our last IPO, but effectively we've crossed a decade without one. There's a promise of Kenya Pipeline Company coming on board, and of course, a lot of this remains to be seen, but at least for Kenya Pipeline, there's hope that that actually happens by the close of quarter one.
Yeah.
Do you feel that any IPO, especially of such a major company, would at least provide some impetus, maybe squeeze out a bit of that runway, maybe push it out a bit for equities?
Yeah, there could be excitement, rightfully so. We have a couple of them. AA has said they would want to do that. Family Bank has also promised to list next year. So I expect some excitement from these listings or these IPOs. And considering that these companies are coming in strong because they have strong fundamentals in terms of their book value, in terms of their balance sheets. So I'd expect these ones to actually bring some excitement in the market. But then it will also depend on the price that they come in, because if the valuation does not support a higher price at entry, it may not excite investors as much. And you also remember that investors have had concerns of IPOs coming at a certain price and then dipping and never going up again. So the entry point will also be very critical for these particular IPOs in terms of whether they will excite the markets or not.
Taking you back to the macroeconomic environment, I think it's good to discuss on taxation or fiscal measures that might come on board. So what we've seen is disposable incomes really take a hit over the last few years. We do know we have a medium-term revenue strategy that is supposed to bring some relief of sorts, either setting down the corporate income tax or also the personal income tax, or pay as you earn as we know it. Given that we've seen this last five-year period where real incomes have been negative, in fact, our earnings effectively have not been keeping up with inflation, there are measures suggested in the medium-term revenue strategy. And the hope here is, again, before the election year, they might try and front-load some of those promises now and hand us some relief. Should we be excited or anywhere, or should we just manage our expectations in terms of what the Finance Bill 2026 might present for investors and also for just individuals and Kenyans as a whole?
I'll take the management of expectations, because we have to confront the fiscal realities that we have as a country. Remember, we are still struggling to actually finance our budget using revenues, and the deficit remains a concerning issue for the Kenya's fiscal space. From where I sit, I do not expect to see strong incentives or deep incentives, because the government still needs to raise revenues. But what, again, I wouldn't expect is to see harsh measures, or what we like to term as punitive measures, because we have seen what this has done to the country, disruption and all of that. But then remember also the Finance Bill 2025 was more of harmonizing and streamlining administrative taxes or something like that. So I'd expect to see a continuation of the same, basically trying to seal loopholes but not bringing new measures that actually pull or push down the purchasing power of citizens.
As we close it off, I'd like to look at now, I think we have had a good look at the tailwinds of what might push or what might sustain any momentum built in 2025. Looking into 2026, what perhaps are now the headwinds? Where might the challenge or the problem lie within the investments landscape for you in 2026?
I'll start with the one I mentioned on fiscal issues. So fiscal consolidation will remain a headwind for some time. It will stay with us, and 2026 will not be an exception. This feeds into crowding out, because the more the government continues to borrow, the more we continue to crowd out the private sector. So then this means that more of the lending will go towards the government as opposed to private sector. And you know, production actually increases supports earnings in the various sectors of the economy. So you look at that, and then you look at an issue like policies and regulations. I will, for example, mention the one that we have recently on all banks adopting a benchmark lending rate, or the official risk-free premium. So that one also will feed into the earnings of the banking sector. And remember, the banking sector is a very critical pillar at the NSE. There are stocks that are most preferred and ones that are very liquid at the Nairobi Securities Exchange. That is also something I'd want to watch out for in terms of the earnings for this particular sector. The other one would be what we have seen in the last 2 years, 2025 and 2024, mid-year, the risk of uprise or disruption in the business sector. This is also a concern or something that should be watched out. But I think now the government is aware of these issues, and we would be able to prevent such issues from happening. But those are the three things that I would be looking at in the next year's headwinds.
Finally, for me, Stella, which is not call it your most favorite asset class, but what asset class are you looking out for? Do you see the most potential having in 2026? Once to watch, perhaps, if I would put it that way.
I'd go for the equities market. So that is an asset class that I would want to watch more, because in the equities market, you can make money whether the markets are volatile or whether they are going up or whether they are going down, because remember, there are entry points when the market is going down. You make money when the market is going up, and when the markets are volatile, you can also make good money with the equities market. So that is an asset class I'd call a favorite and something I'd watch out for in 2026.
That has been Stella Sakai, a macroeconomic analyst, and that has been another episode of Make Money the Podcast. And we hope you've followed the conversation throughout of 2025. We thank you for that. And we look forward to seeing you in 2026. But before then, as always, remember, make your money work for you. Goodbye.